you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday. Guess who's joining me in the studio today? Inquiring minds want to know.
Some people might know.
Yeah. If you're tuned in yesterday, you probably heard. Or if you've tuned in for the last few weeks, we've been saying this will be our tendency for a while. We'll see how it all works out. Good. I can kind of plan. And, you know, when we get some special guests. In fact, you and I are already talking about maybe next Monday or Tuesday having somebody from the Prime Life Times, one of the content contributors. We're working that through. And
start getting some of the writers in here.
Yeah. And I think with that revival coming up, you know, this next month, and that's going for, like, I think 16-17 days. I forget how many days.
That's
down
something.
In Arthur. Yeah, they're really bringing in a number of speakers and have posters here. If you need a poster to help promote the revival that's coming to the Arthur area, basically East Central Illinois, because they're drawing people from all different towns, stop by the center and we'd love to hand that out. And we'll probably have more to say about that in the coming days. They're actually placing an ad in our Prime Life Times, you know, letting people know about this great revival. And
they've prayed that up for a long time.
Yeah, it's been a whole team of prayer warriors, and Dave Allen, a good friend, he's been helping arrange it. Stephen McClary, our singing men director, he's providing and overseeing the whole music element for those 17 days or whatever. Yeah, the singing men we're talking about, we're going to be performing or presenting one of the nights.
Okay.
I can't remember if it's going to be a Friday or Saturday.
Oh, wow. So Steve's kind of overseeing that whole...
he got asked to oversee that, and he accepted. Of course, his plate is so full.
I know.
Steve, are you sure you can pull off another thing? But he's like, yeah, I think I bit off a little more than I can chew, because he has to provide the music every single night.
Wow.
So singing men are just one of the nights.
Right.
So, but he'll do it well.
I'm just really interested. I so want this revival to go well.
Yeah. Holly was saying when we had our dinner club launching at the Texas Roadhouse, and Dave Allen was down, he had posters, and we sat and had dinner with him. He was sharing things about it and the prayer behind it and all the various task forces and teams and volunteers. It's a huge undertaking. And Holly was like, oh, gosh, Mark, we got to go down there a bunch of nights. And I said, I'd love to if we can kind of carve out the time.
Yeah.
But it's going to be life-changing. So.
I think it's going to be important.
Much more to say in the coming days. So keep listening. Keep your dial to one of our four frequencies, or maybe you're listening online. Keep listening, and we'll have more specifics in the days ahead. So, including Yoders. We're going to be down there. And probably I'll hand out some literature at our meet and greet, our special dinner club night on the 29th. Starts at 7 a.m. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be there for breakfast. I'm going to be there as long as I can be.
Oh, sure you are.
But 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. would be basically 7 to 7 is 12, so it's like a 14. Oh, no, they close at 8 p.m.
What are you talking about?
So it'd only be a 13-hour day.
You put in those kind of days anyway, don't you?
That's right.
Doesn't matter.
That's like an average
day. Just
do
it down there.
Yeah, that's right. So Yoders, 10% of your total food costs will be donated back to the station, and that's happening on the 29th, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner. So hope to see many of you down there. We'll have literature and some giveaways and some fun things, and you can pick up our current edition of the Prime Life Times. Let's see, on the 29th, I don't know, that day or the next day, we'll probably get the June edition.
Yeah, we will.
So we'll see when that comes in, but that's
Yoders.
Happening.
That's a good old Amish name, isn't it?
Yeah, Yoders. Yeah. In fact, Stephen Yoder volunteered with the radio ministry for a number of years doing the Tootsie Pop display deliveries in the Arthur area. Mm-hmm. So appreciate
that'd be
Stephen.
A fun day. People could eat breakfast, go wander around the countryside and view things, pick up fresh eggs, roadside, come back and have lunch.
Rockholme Garden. It used to be called Rockholme Garden
it's
for many years.
It's a wildlife.
Yeah, wildlife preserve or nature something. Yeah,
animal preserve.
Well, I think you drive in, and some areas you can pet or whatever, and other you stay in your vehicle. I haven't been down there for that
yet. I haven't either.
So I don't know how that turned out. It was kind of controversial a few years ago where people didn't want it, and they didn't know what was going on. I think the guy that was behind it all is a believer and wanted to do good with it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I know it's...
We should look into this. We can tell people what's going on.
Hey, he needs to advertise in the Prime Light Times. Okay, but that was yesterday's edition where we covered a number of things about the Prime Life Times. And today we're going to cover a story or two with your book, Memories of an African Son, by Marianne Simpkins, available here at the Great News Radio Center, at Amazon, online. Yeah. You can pick up many copies and enjoy it like we have.
Thank you.
And so what's today's story?
Okay.
I'm going to write this down because I need a title for today's edition of Mark and Friends.
Okay. Today's title is The Speaking of Words.
Is there a picture of Rob Seenberg in there?
Oh, that's so funny you said that. That guy knows more things.
he's the kind of guy, if you're going to do a like trivia pursuit.
Oh, don't even think
of
it.
Or probably Jeopardy or anything, you get him on your team.
Oh, yeah. He'd blow everybody out of the water.
Yeah.
He's so good at that stuff.
Reminds me of Dave Dunn. Dave Dunn
really?
Would say that about himself. He has 1,000 different insignificant details that he remembers about everything.
Hey, I love that. 1,000 insignificant details.
Yes.
That should be the title of something.
Okay, so The Speaking of Words.
Yeah. All right. Chapter 53. The Speaking of Words. The darker forms of certain religions were going on in Ghana and in Zimbabwe when we were there, just as they are in other places on earth. There were terrible rites being carried out in some places, animals being tortured for no reason, curses being put on people, and other such things.
Hey, when you mentioned terrible rites, I was thinking rites, R-I-G-H-T-S.
Oh, no,
this is R-I-T-E-S.
Yes, unfortunately.
Got to listen to these words carefully and the context of these words.
Oh, goodness. I remember the day a young man back at our mission station was in a state of great panic because a leading village man practicing the darker arts had cursed him and said that because he would not do as the local leader wanted, in 3 days, he would see a snake cross his path, and he would fall down dead. This was terrorizing to our friend, because this leader had made similar curses before regarding others, and they had come true. We prayed with our friend and claimed the protection of the name and power of Jesus. The third day passed. No snake was seen on any path he walked, and the young man lived. God showed great power around us many times over. Whether it is someone practicing a dark form of religion on any continent, or whether it's a father or mother anywhere calling their child by derogatory names, words matter. That parent making dire pronouncements upon their poor child about their intelligence, looks, or capabilities is doing nothing more than practicing the old damaging art of speaking words over people. For that is much of what the dark arts are, an attempt at control by speaking words, with the addition of intense laser-like focused thought and feeling. It doesn't matter how many rows of candles one lights, how many altars of any kind are erected, how many figurines, statues, or totems are set up or bowed down to, how many potions are mixed and spoken over, or how many psychological studies one cites as justification of what one is trying to imprint upon another person. Speaking negative or misleading words over people can be damaging. There are people this day who were living under this damage from their childhood or workplace, from cruel enemies or supposed friends, living under the effect of words said to them, and the people who spoke the hateful words are drunk on their victim's blood, on their life spirit. The tongue has the power of life and death. Proverbs 18:21. Words carry power. It would be hard to overstate their importance. They can carry a positive, life-affirming power, containers that carry truth, authenticity, and robust health into people's lives. And they can carry darkness, a deceptive web of darkness that is hard to untangle. We are responsible for our words and for what we are really trying to gain in our use of them. It is vital that we never deceive ourselves regarding our speech, pretending to be doing good while having a heart that is jealous or of evil intent, or ill intent. We are all familiar with those instances when we encounter someone who gives the appearance of saying something helpful or kind to us, and yet we leave their presence feeling downcast and inexplicably harmed. Or the honey-filled words, they encourage us to give up when we should not. In those cases, deception and darkness have penetrated whatever words are being used, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Luke 6:45. Our words, the nuances carried in them, and the thought forms behind them spring from the depths of our heart, from our motivations. Often, what people attribute to evil spirits is simply the work of human beings, and it's often the result of their words. It does seem that evil entities and spirits can also get involved in the process. I think it's probably irrelevant to those evil spirits whether the individuals damaging others are jumping around in contortions, performing some solemn ritual, or if it's a lone, well-dressed woman in a high-rise lacerating her young teenage daughter with words that may embed for a lifetime. Evil is always after a life-damaging, life-limiting result. It may be that if an evil spirit can also manage to get an animal or a person maimed and tortured in the process, that it adds to their pleasure. I'm no expert on them, but it seems likely. Darkness seems to enjoy vicarious suffering. But I think they couldn't care less about the trappings that we associate with the dark arts. The volumes of instructions and the crafts and arts of the trade, as they're called, I doubt it. They know what and where the real damage is. They know that when people speak words and use actions to manipulate, harm, or to control others, to impose their personal will upon others, that the dark side is winning. Yet, important as our words are, there is something that carries far more power than either our good words or our unhealthy words, a creative power above us all, whether we're human or other, dark or light, and that is the Word of God. The Word of the Ancient One rules. Jesus himself, when tempted in the desert by the devil, did not try to reason and come up with a lot of arguments or insist on a big encounter. He did not wave his arms and go into fits of yelling. Jesus did only one thing when faced with those awful words coming at him. He said, 3 times over, "It is written." And then he recited the ancient scriptures. "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The Bible says that after Jesus spoke those words, the devil left. He just left. As it says in 2 Samuel 22:31, the Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. The plan of Jesus, I think, may be the best to use to protect ourselves from anyone making their bid for control. Lord, keep us from trying to control things. Help us instead to turn our lives over to you and to follow your paths. Please put deep in our hearts the words Jesus said as he prayed for those following him. "I have given them your word. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." John 17:14-17.
Hey, I was taking a few little notes as you were reading along. Words matter. Of course, you kind of mentioned that. But the two scripture verses, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God."
Yeah,
so,
true.
You know, Jesus being the Word of life. And then, I don't know if it was a proverb, but maybe it's in James, but it's that concept. It's about the tongue. Like, we say words, basically we're putting down people that have been made in God's image. So it's
true.
Like the power that, you know, we can really cast terrible things about a person, but that person is made in God's image, and it ends up with, this should not be.
That's really a good,
you know,
point,
how we
Mark.
Do that.
Really good.
But our words do matter, along with our actions, obviously. But
it says something like you're putting down your creator by putting down what he meant. Yeah.
Right, yeah. And I like how it ends up, this should not be.
Yeah, we got to look up that scripture. That's a good thought.
Yeah, we had that yesterday, assignments for our listeners.
Oh, that's right.
You figure out that picture.
Oh, that's our new things handout, assignments at the end of our program.
Yeah, get back to us, everyone.
Somebody look up that scripture. That's a good thought, Mark. Really good.
Oh, good devotional thought. Yeah, words do, in fact, matter. Oh, okay, 8 more minutes. Do we have a short little story?
Let's see. I don't know if we can do 8 minutes or not.
Speed reading?
Yeah, no, I can't do that. I'm not good at speed reading. Okay, all right. I will read chapter 50, Values. For centuries, throughout much of Africa, cattle were considered extremely important. Though teeming with diverse wildlife, the continent's old caves and stones bear the images of cattle more than any other animal. Historians and archaeologists alike say that up to the time of the Great Zimbabwe Kingdom, a cow was most likely worth far more than any amount of gold. Even though gold was plentiful in the ground, many Africans at that time in history had no use for it. Which brings us to the point. Who decides what has value?
Mm-hmm.
In an unthinking society, people just continue to assume that what their culture has at some point decided is of monetary value just is, without any further thought. Many assume that the ancient people of Central Africa just didn't know yet that gold was intrinsically valuable, that they merely hadn't been informed of this important fact. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Hmm.
They simply had little use for gold as a substance at that time. Its inherent value or lack of value was not something they needed to learn. That doesn't change the fact, of course, that other cultures, both in Africa and elsewhere, had decided that gold was indeed highly valuable to them, nor that some of those cultures traversed Africa's jungles and savannas searching for the gold that lay across the continent in huge reserves, the largest gold reserves in the world. Some of the deepest mines in the world are in Africa. The gold mines of Africa, highly, highly sought after. Can you imagine what would happen if the wild herb growing rampant in your yard was suddenly worth millions of dollars? The herb that you have been stepping on, trying to get to the car. Can you imagine what would happen as people descended in droves upon you, intent on having it at all costs, setting up tents in the road and yard to harvest it and hurry off with it, with not even a thought that it belongs to you? This is what happened in parts of Africa with the gold. For gold did have tremendous value to the people who came looking for it. They had use for it. Great prices were paid, and part of that price was in human lives. Great wealth came from the gold mines, both in the past and this very day. Parts of modern Africa, glittering parts, have been built on the money from gold. Things actually aren't intrinsically valuable in terms of being worth millions of dollars, unless they are true necessities like food, water, clothing, or shelter, and are currently in short supply. Instead, people decide that things are valuable. They discover a valuable use for them, or they just like them, like million-dollar art or sculpture pieces. What we value is, unfortunately, often arbitrary. It changes like the wind. I heard of something on the stock market the other day that suddenly had magnificent value. It happened overnight. I had never heard of it until that day. That's not to say that it isn't of value. It may save lives. Or maybe it's actually useless or a whim. Can you imagine a city where people decided that eradicating poverty or hunger from within their boundaries was the most valuable thing they could envision? So valuable, they poured thousands upon thousands of dollars into it. Oh, I know, that would be a nice thing. But what if it wasn't just a nice thing? What if it was a passionate value? That it was talked about on every street corner of the town, over morning coffee in the restaurants. That people could hardly wait to arrive at work because they'd thought of yet another idea to help the town. because they viewed it not just as a wonderful, abstract, or self-righteous theory, charity, or a moral obligation, but as something to be proud of and to work hard for, because they thought it had value. Mm-hmm. Value, like gold. Have you ever wondered what would happen if we would all just break out of the box we find ourselves in and make new decisions on what we think has value and what doesn't, then simply act on those decisions? In other words, what if our words and actions suddenly came into alignment? There's nothing at all inherently wrong with gold, you know. It's a beautiful and quite useful substance on our earth. Yet, Proverbs 16:16 says, "How much better to get wisdom than gold?" That's because when you have the wisdom, then you really know what to do with the gold. Father, make my values line up with yours. I thank you for the gold and all other things you've caused to be created on this earth. I thank you for the grains and the harvest. I thank you for it all. Please show us how to use these things, all of them, in ways that do not hurt others, but in ways that make sense to the best part of our nature and to you.
And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Mark.
What we value. Yeah, I know some people say, oh, I don't enjoy reading the Bible. I remember somebody challenged them. It's because you don't value it.
Oh,
you
wow.
You don't place upon it the importance that it's God's holy, inspired word, instructive, living, and active. You know, because if you do, if you suddenly say, oh, you mean this really is God's word, these are things to be considered and valued and weighed, then you'll be drawn to it. You'll find time. And, you know, we find time to eat because we value eating.
Yeah.
And,
that's a big exhortation, Mark.
But,
thank you.
Yeah, I think where we place our value, you know, what the Lord says, where your heart is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be.
Which way is it? Where your heart is. Either way works.
That's right.
Ends up in the same place.
Just make sure the treasure is the Lord and you're not treasuring other things. But, I think when we value something, when we value our kids, when we value our spouse, we give them a place of prominence or importance. And, you know, we rearrange schedules and stuff to the things we value.
Yeah, we do.
I think Jason has said this before, when you look at a checkbook, it shows you what you value. Where is your money going?
That makes you think.
So. All right, well, there we go, everyone. We got a lot of things to value. Got words matter. Sets us into this new week. And we hope you'll keep listening and getting blessed and meeting God through our broadcast and through the reading of the Prime Life Times. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.